In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Know your place. Especially on Thanksgiving, right? When the family all gathers together, and as we talked about earlier, the kids sit there at the card table or some lower table. The adults and the heads of the family are all gathered around the real table. And the father's there at the very head of the table, carving the turkey.
Yeah, right. It doesn't happen in so many of our homes anymore, if ever it even did happen. That picture is kind of a vestige of yesteryear, right? Rarely found anymore. And most of us will react to that picture kind of viscerally even. Some of us might say, ah, the good old days. And yet there might also be some of us here who would say, ah, the bad old days, when all was vile and patriarchal and oppressive. And yet, in our gospel this morning, here is Jesus saying, know your place. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And he seems to be giving us a lesson in how to win friends and influence people, how to be shown great honor in your community by forcing the hand of someone who invites you to a banquet, forcing the hand of them to raise your profile and your status in the community and give you a better place at the table, a place of honor. And thus, you will be shown to be humble, and you will also be shown to be of high rank at the same time. It's a win-win for you. Yeah, right. The Lord, right before that, the Lord had just healed a low-ranking man, a man who'd been brought low by disease, who couldn't have been terribly welcome in the dining room of these men of the community. And yet, every time the Lord gets invited to one of these fine, upstanding gentlemen's homes, the riffraff always seemed to get in. I don't know how they did that. At your house, in your dining room, pretend you actually had a big enough dining room to have a great, big, huge, you know, feast like that. Would you just leave the doors wide open and let, you know, people off the street in? I don't know. I'm not sure how this happened. I don't know their culture. Part of me almost wonders if there were bouncers at the door, and yet these fellows, so desperate to see Jesus, forced their way in. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on there. But here is this fellow crashing the party and thrusting himself in where he is not welcome. And he falls down before the Lord. And he begs him for mercy, him who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Because this fellow and all the other fellows who always burst into these meals like this, their bodies need more than just the few hours of rest that the Sabbath can give. Body and soul, they need healing and they need wholeness. And so they come to him, Jesus, him who answers prayer. And of course, the religious men there, they don't like it. After all, the accomplished of the world tend to become accomplished by believing that you get what you deserve. And in this world, that is generally true. But not so with God, with the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, so that you and I do not get what our sins deserve. Like a parent who doesn't want to come down too hard on their child, their wayward child, not wanting to drive that wayward one away further, he puts up with their sin. He takes the long view. He's always seeking and working toward the day when you repent and come to your senses and return to him. He's already done all that needs to be done to reconcile you to himself, and he does all to seek and to save we who are lost, for he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, bearing with you in love, uniting you to himself with his bonds of peace. Well, that peace giver, the one who is the source of all rest, there on that Sabbath day in that dining room, our Lord heals
that man. And the well-to-do religious men, they don't like it. They were watching Jesus closely. They didn't trust this overly compassionate new upstart teacher who feasted with the good and the wicked alike and had constant compassion on the willing to admit it wastrels. But he had judgment for the holier-than-thou holy rollers. And so again, he upsets their apple cart. And he does what ought not be done. And he heals on their holy Sabbath. And then he stops up their gaping mouths. He stops them up by abounding in steadfast love for this Son of God who'd been dropped into a well, you could say, by dropsy. For no matter what God's law says about resting, just as he himself rested from all his work of creating on the seventh day, which one of us wouldn't lift up our fallen child who'd fallen down into the pitfalls of life? Which one of us wouldn't move heaven and earth if we could save them, no matter what day it was? And so, religiosity, which focuses on the self, always misses God's point. The day of rest is not a formula to follow in order to make God happy with you. It's not a method to win God and to influence heaven. It is God's gift of rest and of healing to you through his Son. It's a day to come to him, a day in which he provides for your needs of not only body, but especially of soul. It's the day where he satisfies you with his gifts of wholeness and healing through his forgiveness poured out at his table from his Son's pierced side. And so religiosity, which focuses on the Lord and on his gifts, that is true religion. That is a word fitly spoken that lifts you up and refreshes the soul. And so let's relook at Jesus' parable through those eyes, through the eyes of religion that's focused on the Lord and on his gifts to us that we so desperately need. Because with the Lord, it's never about how to win friends and influence people. That's self-focused religiosity, which is idolatry. That's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord of the Sabbath asked those self-focused religious men, is it fitting to heal on the Sabbath? And he answers his own question by doing what the Sabbath is for, by healing that man. And then he asks, wouldn't you pick up those who have fallen down and gotten hurt? Is that not what your own love for your own child would do? So how much more God's steadfast love? And they won't answer, for self-focused religiosity has nothing to do with the Lord of life. And so our Lord goes and takes an axe to the root of their self-focused religion with that parable that he told. And he tells a parable which the self-focused religious would say to, okay, you got me there. Your way is better. You're right. This is an even better way to elevate myself by being sly and practicing a faux humility but knowing all the while that I really do deserve to be lifted up and expecting that I will be lifted up. And for any of you who actually try to follow that kind of advice, you know, humble yourself so that you'll be lifted up in the sight of others, give it a try and watch it not happen. And then watch your own reaction because you assumed that you needed to be lifted up and you deserve to be lifted up. Won't your reaction be anger and then anger at the Lord because you were not appropriately recognized? But parables are not about you and me. Parables are always about Jesus. And so self-focused religion will always miss the point saying, oh, it'll always miss the point. And so repent.
Because these parables aren't about us, they're about Him and His kingdom. We are the ones who put ourselves forward in the presence of the King. We do that automatically. That's what our sinful self does. We're the ones who put ourselves forward in His presence. We're the ones who, by sin and presumption, trust ourselves and talk about ourselves and try to gain from God by our goodness. But all of our efforts at goodness and decency fall short, and they are, in fact, filthy rags to Him who is all good. And so, clothed in your own efforts, the Father will come on the last day, and He will give you the lowest place. But he who desires none to be lost invited his Son to take the lowest place, to take our shame, to take the Father's rejection on himself, and he humbled himself even to the point of death, even a cursed and shameful death on a cross. And he did it for you and for me and for all the world. And now, the Father of all mercy has exalted his humble Son so that his name is above every name in heaven and on earth. And he has seated his Son at his own right hand on his own throne, so that God's right-hand man uses the Sabbath rest as it is meant to be used, to give desperate, sick sinners his holy rest, to give them wholeness in him, to give those who are broken healing in Christ, and we who are empty to be filled up with His Spirit, and we who are dead to God in sin and transgression to make us alive in His Son. For we who have been brought low by sin have been lifted in His loving, nail-scarred hands. And so Christ, our golden apple, is the Father's fitly spoken word to the world, saying, come up here, beloved friend. Move up higher into my presence. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, dear friends, know your place. For you, baptized one, you are in Christ, and He is all in all. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.